Hey, everybody, this is Corey Poindexter.
And it's Bob Fackety.
And you're listening to Small Package. On today's podcast, we're reviewing last night's WWE special Roadblock, along with Monday Night Raw and Thursday Night SmackDown from this week. Is Dean Ambrose's stock up or down after the special? Has Chris Jericho lost his mind? We're also talking about Ubisoft's new Tom Clancy release, The Division. Bob breaks that down, gives you all the details. Talk about a few other games that have just come out. We're also breaking down the new Civil War trailer. Spider-Man's in it. And also the EA Sports cover curse. All that and more today on Small Package.
Afraid of your health.
With Dean, I just can't help myself. And maybe it's the Cincinnati thing. I can't help it. I just bark out.
What if I started it like, I can only do like a boxing announcer style?
Start what?
The podcast.
What, with a boxing announcer's thing? All right. Hi, everybody. This is episode 2, Small Package.
Episode 2, Small Package.
We had talked before, and for Bob's mental well-being and for the sake of our non-wrestling listeners, we were going to start off with non-wrestling today.
We were, but...
But we are minutes removed. We are recording this right after Roadblock has ended. But
half hour.
Oh, my God, dude. We needed a little bit of time to decompress from that ending.
Well, you did.
Me, especially.
I knew.
Shut up. I can't help it. I mark out for Dean Ambrose. It's fine. It's whatever. But, you know.
Anyway. Okay. Ultimately, full spoilers. It should be.
Spoilers.
It should be noted. Full spoilers ahead. But. Roadblock meant nothing. For every single match involved.
Roadblock it didn't mean nothing. It did not mean nothing.
No.
They made Dean look really strong.
They
okay,
did make
hold
on. Dean really look really strong. Okay. You're right.
Here's what I'm going to do. I think in the effort of fairness, for chronological sake, I'm going to fly through. I have the recap from Raw and SmackDown. I'm going to fly through it. There's a couple points I'd like to come back to later, but I want to hurry up so we can get to Roadblock because it's fresh in our minds. So... Monday, March 7th, here's your Raw recap.
Yeah.
Flying through it. Okay, Shane came out, he got a pop.
Yep.
Vince McMahon did the fake out with the Undertaker's music. He came out, and he smashed a picture frame.
Big hate. Neville
lost a KO, the big surprise from Monday Night Raw. Sami Zayn came out. He saved,
good pops.
Saved Neville from a post-match beatdown. Ziggler had a promo with Stephanie McMahon about deleting a tweet and talking about the good old days when he meant something at Survivor Series. He was informed he would have a handicap match. Summer Rae defeated Brie Bella thanks to a distraction from Lana, who gave her some sort of sit-out facebuster. Ambrose cut a promo about, you know, fighting Triple H at Roadblock. Ziggler eliminated Wade Barrett and then was pinned by Sheamus in a match against those two of them and Rusev. Sasha and Becky defeated the remnants of Team Bad.
Yeah.
Then Charlotte came out in a really, what I thought was a cool move, and hit them. R-Truth, Goldust, and Mark Henry did some sort of bizarre Chicago Pizza promo. New Day defeated.
I missed that in the cut.
Oh my God, it was, we'll get back to it. I thought it was stupid, but also hilarious. New Day defeated Y2AJ, and then turn of the century.
Great match.
It was a fucking fantastic match. It was absolute bananas. And then Jericho turned on AJ Styles. We all kind of saw that coming. We'll talk about that later. Kalisto defeated Tyler Breeze, then had a backstage promo with Ryback. Then Ryback came out and destroyed Curtis Axel. Ambrose technically beat Bray Wyatt by DQ because he was mobbed by the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family stood in the ring. Triple H came out. Wyatt and Trips had a kind of a cool moment in the ring. The Wyatts retreated. Ambrose was on the ground. Triple H went over to just destroy him some more. Ambrose woke up. Dirty deeds. Triple H laying unconscious on the floor, and Ambrose picks up the title. That was March 7th's Raw. SmackDown, March 10th. And a pretty cool Miz TV segment, which, again, I'll come back to that. I want to talk about that, with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Then Kevin Owens and The Miz lose to Zayn and Neville, and Kevin Owens is the preeminent heel of our generation, and I'll get back to that later. Mm-hmm. Brie defeated Summer Rae, but then Lana face-busted her after the match. Jericho did a weird, creepy promo with a trash can and fire.
He's going off the rails.
His promo tonight, really, we'll get it onto that. Sheamus and Wade Barrett defeated the Lucha Dragons. And then Ziggler, Ambrose, and Usos defeated the Wyatts in just, why did we have this match of the year? And now on to Roadblock. If you haven't watched it yet, and you don't want spoilers, then don't listen to this yet. Skip ahead. I'll put a link, just time in the description.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to this real quick. Bob, first off, I thoroughly enjoyed Roadblock.
It was fun. I mean, good good wrestling. Poor story. I mean, I guess the storytelling in ring was pretty good. The meta overall storytelling, not so hot.
I mean, there's a couple of these matches where it didn't do anything story-wise. I get that.
You could say it's not so much a roadblock as it is a hiccup.
I'll put another sound effect in there. I'm getting good with these sound effects. I so far positive feedback on that. Oh, and by the way, real quick, to everyone who pointed out that I missed a few brand splits in last week's show, I'm sorry. I forgot to scrub through my podcast for every single instance of it. I'll do better about it in the future when we say brand splits. But anyway, I get totally that not all of these matches had a lot of implication. Jericho Swagger didn't really have, I mean, aside from the crazy promo.
That's such a who cares match.
I get that there were a few of these that is like Zayn versus Stardust. It really doesn't do anything for the story.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And we really knew going in it was a glorified, elevated house show.
Right. And that's what you get. Like what were we talking about? The house show that happened a couple nights ago where it was Ambrose versus, it was the triple
threat. Zayn versus Owens.
Zayn, Owens, and Ambrose in a triple threat. Like, that's what happens at house shows. This time they took the house show and then they sort of went, okay, let's have a little bit of added
storyline. Right. Get people checked in on the network.
So, like, I get that, but still, the matches themselves, I felt like all of the matches were good. I enjoyed.
They all were fairly solid.
The actual in-ring perform. Work.
Yeah. Wrestling performances.
So we started off Roadblock. Now, keep in mind also, they only advertised, what, four matches on the card were advertised?
Yeah, like four or five.
And we had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven matches and a few promos.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a chock full night. We went 8 to about 10:30, yeah, maybe
a
little over.
It was about 2.5 hours. Not a full Raw or pay-per-view, but...
But hey, man.
Above a SmackDown.
So we started off with New Day... New Day defending their titles against Barrett and Sheamus. The promo
again. Corey thought that New Day was going to lose their titles here.
I kind of had this feeling that, and again, this isn't me being too smarky or over fantasy booking. I just sort of the way that they've had New Day lately, working with League of Nations, who League of Nations are like a super heel, like everyone hates them, mostly because they're stupid. But they've had them teaming up against League of Nations for the most part, so it kind of hints at this sort of facey. They're still heels.
They're like tweeners, you know.
They've also been champions.
They jump the line, doing whatever they need to do.
I get that, but they've also been the champions since SummerSlam, so they've been champions for a while, and I just feel like
they rock.
Yeah, I love the New Day. Don't get me wrong, I didn't think that. Oh, they're gonna lose it because I was marking out and I didn't want them to win. It was just that I felt like maybe this frees them up to do something interesting, because I mean I don't know what is interesting right now with them doing League of Nations other than New Day gets to just be New Day. So regardless of that. They started off with a promo where they revealed the box of Bootio's cereal. They're always entertaining. I always love New Day promos. And then after that, they had I felt like it was a good match with Sheamus and Barrett. There were some cool spots in there.
Yeah.
A couple times where it really felt like Barrett had it. Time or two where it felt like Sheamus had it.
I don't think Sheamus ever really. Barrett was in control a couple times.
Barrett looked great. I thought Barrett looked great in the match. Sheamus looked fine. Sheamus looked you know, strong. It looked like Sheamus. And then, you know, New Day with the tag team work. Kofi took that one bump where just worried that he was just dead.
Kofi, he was like on the top rope. Something didn't work. And he came down hard on his neck. And that, then he like looked off for the rest of the match and like kind of stumbled out. Like,
he did a ring roll out.
I definitely hope he's okay.
I mean, I'm sure everyone.
I need to check Twitter. Yeah. Make sure he's doing okay.
I mean, even after the match, he still looked a little shaken up and like out of it.
Sure.
But I mean, I also loved how for just like a half a second, Wade Barrett broke character and had this like oh shit look on his face when he saw Kofi land on his neck. And you know, the match was good. They always look good. They have great teamwork. The Unicorn Stampede thing where they're tagging in and out, it all looked great. Let me know if you see anything on the Twitter, as Jericho likes to say,
on the tweets,
on the Twitter about Kofi Kingston. So yeah, New Day retains. Nothing really big change there. Heyman cut a promo from the back about Brock Lesnar. I've said this before, if Paul Heyman was standing in front of a punch bowl that was just full of like arsenic and cyanide laced fruit punch, and he cut a promo telling me that I should really enjoy some of this punch, I might drink it, because he's just the Pied Piper. I love his promos. Even at his like lowest, when like Paul Heyman is not on his A game and is just sort of like, just like, okay, I'll cut the promo for you, he still is just the best guy on the mic. I cannot overstate how good Paul Heyman is on the mic. But anyway, let's get back to this. Then Jericho cut a promo about AJ Styles. The Jericho promo was just absolutely like bananas crazy.
Uncomfortable?
It was a little uncomfortable, but I mean, granted, it's Jericho in Toronto, so I felt like he knew he had to cut like the heeliest of promos to get booed.
Yeah, I suppose.
Opening up,
he was getting some good boos.
Oh yeah, dude. He came out and just said, you know, Toronto, shut your mouths. You had the chance to cheer me before and you didn't. And that got a couple people in the crowd to boo him, because like I feel like most people knew what was up. They knew that he was just going to be a jerk. And then he proceeded to say that the reason he left Canada was because Canada stinks and Toronto is the anus of Canada. He said he was the greatest icon, the greatest sports icon in Canada's history, which overlooking... Just overlooking stuff about, you know, hockey and stuff like, you know, Bret the Hitman Hart is Canada's greatest icon, which then people chanted Bret. And then Jericho was like, well, you want Bret? Well, guess what? You'll never have Bret Hart again. That got some heat. He just took just a lot of shots at people. And he brought up a lot of opportunities that the crowd, that Canada would have had to have cheered him in the past, but didn't. And one of them was this really forced reference to Jack Swagger defeating years ago for the heavyweight championship.
Obviously played into the match that was just about to happen.
No, and I mean, I get that. It just was like, it just was so out of left field and so forced feeling. Like, I almost would have preferred he didn't bring up Swagger in the promo and Swagger just came out to shut him up, because Swagger really hasn't done much lately. So he probably would have got a, like, oh wow, Swagger's out here, like pseudo pop. But you know, anyway, it kind of felt forced that he brought up Jack Swagger in the promo, saying with Swagger, when Swagger beat him for the heavyweight title a couple years ago, after Swagger won Money in the Bank, they could have cheered for Jericho, but he didn't. They didn't. That's his whole thing, is like, you know, people don't want to cheer for Jericho, they want to cheer for AJ Styles. And so then he fought Swagger. They had I thought it was an okay match.
I mean, I've never really been that big a fan of Swagger to begin with, so...
I like Jack Swagger, and I still thought it was okay. I mean, like, just okay. Couple ankle locks, couple reversals, but Jericho...
Ultimately, he taps out almost instantly to the walls.
Yeah.
It's just like,
Dad bod Jericho is... He's had some good matches with AJ Styles. I'm not going to say he's had some good matches with AJ Styles, and maybe some great work in those matches with AJ Styles. I'm just sort of ready for this. I mean, I know it's going to be the WrestleMania feud for them. I mean, at this point, that's what they're going to do, is they're going to blow it off at WrestleMania. But I'm just almost tired of it. Like, we got 3 more weeks of Jericho cutting these promos on AJ Styles to deal with. And like, if WrestleMania was next week, I probably wouldn't feel so burnt out on it. But the fact that we're going to get three more weeks.
WrestleMania is still a ways away.
22 days, according to the network. But, all right. Well, let's move on from that to what I thought was awesome. Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, the NXT Revival, belt. Against the Revival. NXT tag match. That was a good match. I mean, definitely some great spots. Enzo and Cass are really fun to watch. They got some really good chemistry, doing some really crazy, you know, throwing each other around the ring type moves. This was my first time watching. I don't watch NXT. So
let me ask you then, their intro was a little bit different than it usually is, but what did you, as somebody who hasn't really watched them much, do you enjoy their intro?
Yeah, I thought they're fun. They're personable. It got me on their side.
Well, that's good. Cause I know, like, as somebody who actually watches NXT, like, everyone goes crazy for Enzo and Cass cause they're fun. Like you were saying, they're fun. They've got a lot of charisma, but they're also like, they're dynamic in the ring.
Yeah, they're great performers.
Exactly. And as a team, they have a lot of team based moves.
Yeah, no, they're almost like cartoonish in how they like work together. Like they're designed to be
attacking.
They're just well done. They're I mean, granted, the other dudes,
The Revival,
they were good.
Dawson and Wilder.
I mean, it's not necessarily my style of that. Just punches style of wrestling isn't necessarily my favorite. I know the JBL and everyone on the announce team kept mentioning is the classic old school style of wrestling.
They are the revival.
None of that. And so it's just like, I get it. I get their gimmick, and they were good. They're good performers.
Revival.
No doubt about that. They definitely put on a good match.
Yeah, and Revival retained.
Not necessarily my style.
Revival retained, especially after there was a thing where I can't remember if it was Wilder or Dawson put Carmella in front of them to prevent Cass from hitting them. And then it turned into Dawson and Wilder doing a double team move on Cass on the outside, then dealing with Enzo and getting the pin and the win. I understand why some people are upset that Enzo and Cass didn't win, but I personally am happy about that because if they had the NXT titles on them, the tag titles for NXT, they would not have a chance of getting called up at WrestleMania. And I still am hopeful that
now fantasy we have booking them. Is Enzo and Cass versus New Day.
Oh my God, dude. Enzo and Cass versus New Day would be just the most charisma. Like the promos, promos alone are worth the cost of admission. Like just those two teams trying to go back and forth with each other,
trying to one up each other.
Oh man, you can't teach that.
I see what you did there.
There was a Charlotte Natalia video package. We love our video packages, don't we, WWE? We love telling stories through video packages.
Especially when you get to end it with the announcer standing awkwardly because the superstar has walked out of camera frame.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Natalia in a video package. I think it was a video package because it seemed very earlier this day. Natalia goaded Charlotte into putting her title on the line.
Because Bret the Hitman Hart.
Because Toronto.
And Toronto.
So Charlotte defeated Natalya in the match, but I personally think this match was amazing.
Very submission heavy.
It was very,
very submission heavy. But it was well done. They looked like, you know, they're all both selling each other's submissions very well.
Some great false finishes in there too, where there was one point where
there
Natalya
were definitely
got
a couple good ones.
Natalya got like a real close to 3 count. Like just like skin of the like, you know, edge of the skin away from the three, you know, and Ric Flair minor interference in the match, like very little until the end. He got on the apron and then that allowed Charlotte to, you know, get back into it. But I'm fine with Ric Flair interfering once in a while, but every single match just makes Charlotte look weak.
Yeah,
but You know, I thought Charlotte looked great on Raw because she beat the shit out of Becky and Sasha after a match in street clothes, just like came out of the crowd and beat them and looked strong. And that's great. And Ric Flair can help her without her having to look weak, but every single match helping her makes her look weak. So let's move right along to what I thought was the biggest disappointment of the card. Lesnar defeated Luke Harper.
The two-on-one match.
I'm just going to say Brock Lesnar defeated Luke Harper is what I'm going to say.
Because Bray Wyatt was in the ring for a total of like 4 seconds.
He started the match in the ring.
Immediately tug out. Ding, ding, ding. Taps Luke, runs out of the... Gets off the apron. Like, he's straight up off the... Just out of the ring.
Yeah, he watched on the ground for the entire match, and then
Luke just gets demolished.
I mean, Luke Harper held his own for the first...
He put in a couple good moves. He put in a couple good moves.
Yeah, he knocked Brock down a couple of times. But then he just got suplexed a ton. Yeah. I honestly feel like we can just sort of move on because Lesnar...
Like, what else are you going to do with that?
Lesnar beat up Luke Harper a bunch, and then Bray Wyatt kind of ran away looking over his shoulder as Brock did kind of chase him for a minute. Uh-huh. But then Brock just... started slow walking and let Bray get away. And the announcers did a good job of teasing that if Dean Ambrose wins tonight, Brock Lesnar wouldn't have a date, you know, for the dance at WrestleMania, and then that might free him up to wail on Bray Wyatt. So the next thing we got was Sami Zayn came out and fought Stardust in a match that meant nothing, but was a solid match.
Yeah.
Good performance.
Decent match to watch. Good technical wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, both of them looked good in the match. What else can you say? And now, getting to the main event of Roadblock.
Which we got to enjoy from the comfort of our porch, because it's a nice night out.
Yeah, fun story. We decided to go down to the front porch of our building and watch it on Bob's phone, because it is a very nice night out, and Bob has... unlimited data, so we're like, oh, okay, fuck it, we'll just watch it from the front porch. And then like the neighbor kids happen to be coming home and we're like, are you guys watching WWE?
Oh right, Roadblock's on tonight.
And one kid freaked out, was like, I thought it was tomorrow. And I'm not making fun of you if that kid happens to listen, because I told him I have a podcast before I remembered that we swear a lot, so maybe I shouldn't have told him that I have a podcast about WWE. But he was like, I thought it was tomorrow. And I was like, no, it's tonight. And so we were like, well, if you guys want, we're just going to sit here and watch it. You're welcome to stand around and watch. So we had a little crowd on my stoop watching the fucking main event of Roadblock. So Ambrose versus Triple H. First off, Ambrose looked so fucking awesome.
Looked
and
great.
Crazy.
Looked great.
And in the beginning, when he did...
I mean, frankly, they both look great.
Oh, yeah. When Ambrose did that like Tyler Breeze kind of thing where he lounged in the corner... Uh-huh. And did the come on and the DX chop and the oh my
got
god
your nose.
The got your nose. He did a spot with fucking Triple H.
reaches out, literally plants his hand on Triple H's face, gets his nose in between his two fingers, starts like wiggling it back and forth.
Just a got your nose. And it didn't look hokey. It looked Triple H sold it so it looked painful, but it was just like, what is going on? Dean is just taunting him. And then Dean just kept going for that left leg, or was it the right leg? He went for one of the legs. Of them.
It was like in-ring psychology, fantastic. In-ring storytelling, fantastic.
It was so good. And the match went back. It started going back and forth for a little bit. Ambrose had the upper hand for a while. He just kept like going on it and going on it.
Big top rope jumps.
Big top rope jumps. He did that figure four lock. Oh my god!
Yeah, he was doing a couple submission holds. Everyone was doing a couple submission holds. It was a weird. Submission
Then Triple H put him in that crossface, but then forgot how the crossface works.
Oh my god! Huge botches.
And
then he did that weird whatever the fuck.
It was cool. Like,
I mean, it looked painful.
So Triple H puts Ambrose in the crossface, but then forgets that, you know, in order for the crossface to really be effective, you have to have the one hand kind of in between your legs.
And
so that
Dean like sneaks it back in there for him.
He like puts it in there. God. And then Triple H grabs it with his legs, and we're all just like, no one's gonna say, okay, cool. And then Triple H rolls him into this weird submission move.
Like arms behind his back thing.
Oh, it was kind of cool. It looked great. Lots of momentum for Dean Ambrose. And then he gets Hunter. I don't think it was with Dirty Deeds. It might have been, but he got him with one of his moves. He rolls him up in the corner, and then we hear the count: 1, 2, 3. He hits the three. The whole place erupts, but then
the ref's waving it. Ref is waving it off. You don't hear the bell at all.
Yeah, dude, I would have hated to have been in that crowd because we get to hear the commentators.
Yeah.
If you were in the live event crowd,
they'd be like, what
so
happened?
I guess the ruling was, you know, I obviously kayfabe. Obviously, uh-huh. This is all part of the work here, but like Ambrose's legs were underneath of the bottom rope, which I guess technically, according to the, I'm doing air quotes here, rules of wrestling, you can't do that. It's the same thing as having your foot on the rope, I guess.
Sure.
So they wave it off.
You're out of the ring or whatever.
Then Triple H, you know, off the distraction because Ambrose is arguing with the ref, rolls him up, but only gets a 2 count. In a very close to a 3 count, Ambrose kicks out, and this is just crazy. Ambrose sets up Hunter on the announce table on the outside that Hunter dismantled earlier, and then goes to do a diving elbow off of the barricade. Triple H rolls out of the way. Ambrose goes through. Ambrose almost gets counted out, gets back in the ring, and immediately upon getting into the ring, pedigree 1, 2, 3. But that being said, I think the real MVP, the real winner in this, you know, non-kayfabe, is Ambrose, because he looked incredible.
Yeah, he did look really strong, and he kind of won.
And Michael Cole, to Michael Cole's credit, don't quote me on that. Don't tell people I said that. But to Michael Cole's credit, he also put it over that Ambrose had nothing to be ashamed of because he proved he could beat Triple H.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And technically, he sort of kind of did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, did he actually get the title?
Dumb storyline, kayfabe, have to have his feet under the ropes. What, like?
I mean,
it was more fun for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, the match was great, but I had a lot of fun watching you almost die on our porch.
Thank you.
Like,
in front of kids.
When he hit his hand for the third time on the Dean pin, I thought you were going to just roll off of the steps. Just like, oh, Corey's
gone.
My heart
did sort of jump out of my chest for a second. I mean, I mark out for Dean Ambrose. I'm not going to lie and hide it. I love Dean Ambrose. I would have liked to have seen the win, but I still am happy with the results because Ambrose looked strong.
Uh-huh. He did look strong. However, ultimately, like, every single match that you think was going to be the result was the result of the, like, literally every, like, the logical result. Choice.
The logical result.
But again, it's a house show. It's an elevated house show, yeah. And we shouldn't have expected anything too major.
No, that's fine.
Like, because it's not an elevated house show, and that's fine. Like, we just don't get a pay-per-view in March. And this is what we get. This is the best thing we get. And enjoy it for what it was. It was some good performances. You know, the Triple H Ambrose match was really good.
Oh, amazing.
The New Day tag match was okay. The Enzo and Cass tag match was really good. The Divas match was all right. You know, we got some good matches. We got one stinker, but... You know, the rest of it was a solid night.
Hey, I mean, 6 out of 7 being good, and so like having 1 out of 7 being awful, but then 5 out of 7 being good, and another one, and then 1 of the 7 being amazing. I mean, for a house show, yeah, that is a glorified,
right,
mini pay per view. Yeah.
However, I just looked online, and one of the alternatives that could have happened. They're doing a house show in Atlantic City or something tonight as well. It was an AJ Styles Kevin Owens 30-minute Iron Man match.
Oh, we missed that.
Yeah,
No shit.
WWE put that on a house show in Atlantic City or Atlanta, one of the two, wherever they are tonight, instead of putting it on Roadblock.
Dude, I'm so mad. That would have been amazing.
Right?
You know why they put that on like a dark house show, right? Is because that's gonna be at Mania.
Oh my god.
Oh no, they're gonna have him with Jericho.
Yeah.
Dude, fuck that. Oh, I know. Dude, just seriously.
I know. We all wanna see. Okay. However, I mean Owen Zane will be good.
No,
Owen Zane will be good.
Owen Zane is going to be the match that... here's the thing. Is Owen Zane and Owen Styles are two of the matches that everyone has been waiting forever to see. And we're going to get one of the two of them at Mania. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I'm assuming that Owen Styles will happen later. Maybe... Oh, careful with that.
Yeah.
Maybe at SummerSlam. Uh-huh. You know, it'll happen. We'll have time. But... Damn, that would have been awesome. I know why they didn't put it on the special, because eventually they want to have that televised.
Right, they want that as a televised main event.
It's like Stone Cold always said, you know, don't give it away for free on TV. So,
but
yeah, I know, but the house show is basically, you know what uh-huh. I'm saying? It's not the pay-per-view.
Uh-huh. So anyway, look, really as far as big picture things. As far as big picture things going into Mania,
nothing changed this week.
Well, no, one big thing changed this week. One big thing changed this week, and it's Jericho turning on AJ.
Well, that was on Raw, though.
Yeah, I said this week.
Oh, this week. I do think that Dean Ambrose looking that strong against Triple H will have implications. What those implications are, uh-huh. I don't know. They've been teasing hard about maybe Brock wants to go after Bray, so who knows? Like, lots of anything could happen.
I doubt they're really changing the main event at Mania.
I doubt it too, but it's possible. You never know with these guys. You were not available for Monday Night Raw this week.
I watched the tail end of it, but it's because I was doing something that we'll talk about later in the tail end of the podcast.
Okay, word. And then SmackDown, were you here for SmackDown this week?
Yes.
And we also did not have streaming problems this week.
SmackDown was very nice.
Was streaming great on my TV this week. There's not really much I want to go back over from Monday or Thursday. The only big things were the Shane Vince thing in the beginning. I couldn't tell if it looked like it was planned that Vince was going to come out after the Undertaker's bell, but it also could have been him covering for a mistake. I have no clue. But
nah.
It was really weak how he wanted to break the picture of him and Shane from when he was a boy. That could have been a strong moment if it felt like this was the only copy of that picture in existence. Like it was an old film print. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But it was like clearly a digital print in a frame. And instead of like ripping the photo, he smashed the frame. And like poor Rusev has to come out there barefoot later to walk to the ring. Through broken freaking glass on the fucking ramp.
I'm sure they swept it up fine.
Neville and KO's match was really strong.
It was fun.
And
really fun match.
Zayn coming in to save the day at the end. The only other things on here that I felt like I wanted to talk about, I thought Charlotte coming out in street clothes was a cool look, because usually they have the divas come out in glorified frilly bikinis, uh-huh. which, I mean, the dudes wrestle in glorified frilly underpants, so I guess it's not like that bad, but... You know, they don't do that. They do that for a lot of the superstars, like the guys. Like, a lot of the guys will come out in street clothes, you know, for interviews, or, you know, Triple H will come out in a suit
for
and tie.
Miss TV.
Or, for all that kind of stuff. Whereas the divas, it feels like, are always in, like, swimsuit underwear.
Some kind of gear.
So seeing Charlotte come out in just, like, I think it was, like, a leather jacket and, like, black pants, she looked badass. And she just came over the barricade and just wailed on the two of them. Looked really great. You missed that R-Truth Gold Dust Mark Henry segment.
Yeah, that wasn't on the Raw cut or on the
Hulu.
The Hulu cut.
It was really silly, but I just want to say I love R-Truth, and he's always entertaining to me. Even when they put him in like the dumbest gimmicks and the dumbest matches, like when he would come out and be like with the ladder in a match that was not a ladder title match, and just set it up. And be like, oh my bad. I always find it funny.
Uh-huh.
And there was something, I think it was when Goldust was still trying to win back R-Truth, and he brought him a deep dish Chicago pizza, and then R-Truth was like, no, and then set it on a table, and then the two of them walked away sad, And then Mark Henry came out of nowhere and just was like, I love Chicago pizza. And then just picked up a deep dish and then like did like a Mick Foley smile wink into the camera, cheap pop Chicago. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And then just like macked down on Chicago pizza. I was like, this is so stupid. But I it was not as stupid as the gold dust in the bathroom promo uh-huh. on SmackDown yeah. where you needed toilet paper and they almost showed gold dust as junk. And R-Truth's like, I got your toilet paper. Yeah, the Y2 AJ split up those stupid shirts that they only had printed out for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I feel bad for anyone who bought those ugly shirts.
I think that's a fun little swerve, though, because like on one hand, you can say that you feel bad for people who had those shirts. On the other hand, that's not like a limited collectible. It's a cool little it's a cool little moment in time that you can be like, yeah, I got one of those Y2 AJ shirts. Why not?
Dude, it just like,
and it definitely is a swerve because people are like, so many people online and person I talk to, you know, are like, oh man, well, if they're making merch now,
it's a team.
That means that this is a thing that they're going to carry in to Mania and they're going to have Y2AJ take the belts from New Day. And like, but no, they totally swerved on the marks.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Or on the smarks who were like trying to look behind the scenes, like, yeah, pull the rug out from under you. Ha.
Quick question. Did any of those friends you talked to look at how badly designed the shirt was?
No.
Like, did you even see the shirt? It's just like light blue, like teal Y2AJ, like in like Helvetica. Like, it's that bad. Like, pull up a picture real quick of this Y2AJ shirt. Get ready for Bob to laugh at this, because it's if you're at home, you should do this too. If you didn't see the shirt, it's so bad. It's just like, there was nothing on this shirt that was at all flashy or interesting. That's it. And like the back of it said
code breaking and risk-taking.
It's literally like an italic Helvetica with like a little bit of a light blue stroke.
Black shirt. It's got, oh, and there's a little bit of like the digital artifacting.
Oh, whatever,
kind of
dude. Because WWE makes some good shirts, but that shirt was not one of them. No. And that shirt made me go, this is probably not sticking around. And then at the end of the match, when Jericho stuffed it in AJ's mouth, and that was one of the least PG things I've seen in the PG era.
Oh, yeah.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was pretty uncomfortable.
I mean,
Jericho's been making TV like,
like
past few days.
You're kind of just waiting on Jericho to show up on Monday Night Raw, like covered in blood and like walking around muttering to himself with photos that he took of AJ Styles at his hotel room.
This is why they were cheering for AJ Styles. They stopped cheering for Chris Jericho.
AJ Styles. AJ Styles. And him just saying AJ Styles to himself in the ring. AJ Styles. It's like, I'm seriously waiting on him. Like, his next promo is like an Attitude Era, like a camera following him in the parking lot of a hotel. And then you look through the window and it's AJ Styles. And Jericho's just outside with a shotgun going like, AJ Styles. AJ Styles. They made me do it. Skipping ahead, Ryback had a weird backstage promo with Kalisto. Uh-huh. Was that on the Hulu version?
No.
Good. It was just sort of weird because Ryback was like very much talking to Kalisto as if like something is going to happen with him and Kalisto, which makes no sense. But Kalisto was like, Ryback was like, I respect you. I'm the big guy.
Oh, yeah, they did have that.
He's like, I respect you, but you got to break away from Sin Cara.
Yeah.
I learned that you can't be in a tag team, which like, hey, you know what? Ryback's right. He should break away from Sin Cara, and he should do another singles run because he's entertaining. And Sin Cara is the botchmaster handbreaker.
I've been saying it ever since Kalisto won the belt, though, is that he needs to go do a singles run, and then Sin Cara needs to do a heel turn, and then you set up a face and a heel lucha. And
was it you that pitched me the whole like him on the ladder at WrestleMania?
Probably not, because I don't go that in depth with my
fantasy usually. Booking. Bob and our
I'll do like big scope like he wins this, he wins that. You're like
my fantasy.
And then and then after three quarters of the way through the match,
hey dude, when I fantasy book, I don't half ass that shit.
No,
I fantasy book the match.
Yeah, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So the only other moment worth touching on is that when Wyatt's attacked Ambrose, and Ambrose was just knocked out on the ground, you know, dead on Raw. The Wyatts were in the ring. Triple H's music hits, and like the rest of the Wyatts panicked a little bit. Like they looked around, like, "Well, what do we do?" And Bray kind of like, "Quiet, man. We got this under control, man. When the wolves are," he quieted the Wyatt family. And when Triple H got in the ring, Bray Wyatt got right in his face, and then used his hands to keep the family back, and then had like a serious mean mug competition with Triple H.
Yeah.
And then
he just like left.
And then he laughs, and then he strokes the title with his hands, laughs again, and then they retreat. I thought it was cool because I thought it was kind of a nod to
figure.
Like,
the Wyatts showed up, did something kind of interesting, and that ultimately meant nothing, and then left.
Yeah, see, but I don't think that it ultimately means nothing. I think that it's very cool because, you know, back in the day, it wasn't just one or two guys who were shooting for the title. It was like you would have like a whole bunch of the guys on the roster who were all shooting for the title.
Uh-huh.
I hope that,
as it should be.
Yeah, and I'm hoping after Mania we get back to a point where it's interesting, because while there are multiple storylines going on, we also have like four or five guys who are all trying to get, because back then number one contender meant something, because there were lots of guys who were constantly contending for it. It wasn't just like random one-off shots for the title. And then, like, you know,
it being Roman who constantly gets the
one-offs,
just everything. He was just like, "Oh,
can we get the
next shot at it, and now you get the next shot at it,
and the next shot,
and now you get the next shot."
But he's an underdog, Bob. But he's an underdog.
I was like,
"Put Roman as the underdog.
Get all these shots,
Bob, because he's the underdog. Because he's the 6 foot something Samoan bodybuilding." Football playing underdog.
We get it.
Can we real quick go back for 1 second to that sign that was the real MVP from Roadblock?
Uh-huh.
When it rains, it bores.
When it rains, it bores.
That sign, you the real MVP. That guy, he had it faced away from the camera so that the camera would still go near him. And then as soon as the camera jibbed over towards him, he just turned the sign around and got it on camera for like a hard second and a half before they could cut. And I was like, that sign was hilarious. The only thing worth really talking about on SmackDown was Kevin Owens is the greatest heel in this company.
He's so good.
He is the that wink
first off,
he did to
the
camera.
That match was really good.
Oh, the match was amazing. The Miz TV segment was fine. And Kevin Owens doing that wink when he smacked him. I can't remember if it was Zayn or Neville, but one of them was leaning over the ropes. Owens smacks him from the ground, then turns to the camera and winks. And I can't handle how much I love him as a heel.
And then the ending was really funny. Because Sammy was like just beating up on the Miz, and he threw him into Owens's corner, and Miz was just like lying there crumpled, and Sammy's like, "Come on, tag in Owens, and Owens just like, "No. I'm good." He just takes his belt, walks away, and then the Miz like gets up, runs to the ropes, and Seth's like, "Where are you going, man?" And then he just gets pinned. It's just really funny. Great performances, great heel performances.
I love Kevin Owens. He's just like, here's the thing: is that you hate him when he's in the ring because he's insufferable, and when he talks, he's insufferable. But I mean that. As
in the way that he's supposed to be, way he's acting to be insufferable.
As once you put your smart hat on and like, you know, start analyzing stuff, you're like, "Oh, but he's the greatest."
Right?
Kevin Owens.
Because as an actor, you're like, he is achieving the emotions I'm supposed to be feeling.
Mauro Ranallo retweeted me. I forgot about that.
Right. Yes.
That was kind of a big deal for Small Package, is that Mauro Ranallo. Bob berated me for not putting our podcast hashtag in the tweet that got retweeted, which, my bad. that could have got us, you know, it could, we could have, instead of me
gotten zero more listens from it,
instead of me personally getting 4 likes on a tweet, the podcast could have gotten 4 likes.
Oh, well.
But anyway, so yeah, I guess Ronaldo and I are BFFs now. It's kind of a serious thing, kind of big deal that he retweeted me.
You're hot shit.
He took me to retweet it. And the tweet that he retweeted was, say that 10 times fast. The tweet that he retweeted was the one where I said he made the reference to Bieber and both of us groaned, but then I was like, yeah, but you know what? He has to make these kind of shilly, you know, pop culture references. It's direct orders, but at least he doesn't let it derail the whole announcing thing like Cole would have. So I tweeted out that even Mauro Ranallo makes the pop culture references on SmackDown better, and he elevates the whole show, and then he retweeted that. And I think it's true.
Even, oh, yeah.
They're going to have to make these references.
Him calling the show makes wrestling better to watch.
Oh, my God. He's just so good. Like,
it just makes the sports entertainment feel more like a sport and therefore more entertaining.
That's the formula.
Whoa.
And then the very last thing I'll mention about the pretty forgettable SmackDown was Jericho again cutting another insane promo. He lit the shirt on fire, the Y2AJ shirt on fire, and then put it in a trash can.
Trash can. It got big flames. That was a big fire in there.
Kind of surprised me a little bit how big the flames got, because they, like, I think it might have surprised him too, because they got up to as tall as he was.
Yeah, no, they were definitely many feet high flames.
AJ Styles.
Yeah. Okay. AJ.
Okay. We're done with the SmackDown and the Raw and
therefore wrestling
and all that. Well, because the only other wrestling stuff I had, we could also talk about
later. We'll talk about it later.
Save it for later.
Other shows.
So, in terms of non-wrestling stuff that happened, is there anything that you wanted to open up with?
I mean, I just want to talk, because all week I've been just playing The Division.
Mm-hmm.
Big game launch.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people playing it.
Sum it up for people who have no idea what The Division is.
The Division is a game where you play as this, like, sleeper agent for America who gets, like, you're just like a person in society, but once shit hits the real big fan, you get tapped to, like, be like, hey, you go in and have martial law to just get things back under control and under order for the U.S. government. And so some terrorist organization or something, I don't know, the story's kind of vague right now, unleashes this big virus in New York City on Black Friday, and all these people get, you know, die from this virus outbreak. And all the people that are left seemingly are organized crime members, like street level thugs or prisoners from Rikers Island. And those are like the three big factions that you're fighting. And somehow there's a shit ton of those guys who are immune to this virus, but somehow. Whatever.
They're somehow kayfabe.
Right.
Immune to
virus. It's a fun little game. Well, it's not little.
And it was written by Tom Clancy, right?
Well, Tom Clancy's been dead for a lot of years.
I mean, his company.
Tom Clancy game, yes. The Division.
This is going to become another thing where you tell me that I'm stupid, just like last week with the fucking... My point last week, by the way, not to derail you, was that not that they should... They shouldn't release games for previous consoles, because I realized listening back why there was a misunderstanding. I wasn't saying they shouldn't release Star Fox for the Wii U. I was saying, like, I was unaware of the fact that this Wii NX was, or whatever it's going to be called, was not confirmed.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that it was going to be coming out like any month now.
No.
When I said, why wouldn't they wait?
Yeah.
And anyway, sorry. So
it still hasn't been announced. Anyway, we already had the discussion.
The Division.
The Division, it's fun. It's one of those always online things. It really is just Destiny, but
in a pretty wrapper,
in a more realistic, down to earth universe, as opposed to literally space.
Literally space.
Dude,
the New York, because I've been watching you play The Division, because I've been bored and out of work.
The level it's beautiful. That they crafted, it's
It's really gorgeous. Obviously, it starts to feel repetitive once you hit many levels. You know, you kind of get to the same, like, because walking around, they have all these like little instances where you interact with people, or you see bad guys, you know, randomly spawned. You see bad guys randomly spawned, and you know, you walking around your first couple hours, you're like, oh man, this feels so crazy how alive everything feels. But once you hit like hour 10, you start like, okay, there's gonna be guys over here, okay, there's gonna be guys over here, okay, these people are gonna be up here, okay, this person is gonna ask me for food here.
Are you thinking, like, that maybe possibly, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, do you think possibly some of your jadedness to it comes from the fact that we live here and we're very familiar with Midtown? Somebody who maybe doesn't live in New York and doesn't go to Midtown very often may not.
I'm not talking about
the map.
Walking around the map. I'm talking about
the actual
AI, the characters, the things that you find and do.
Oh, okay. So like it's the same couple of
interactions that you have.
Okay.
Not the level itself. I mean, like I said, the whole city is it's very well done. It's fun to explore it. It's fun to walk around.
It's pretty accurate.
Find the buildings that you can go into, and then you get to like go up into the apartments and, you know, find some clothes or whatever that the people had left there. They get to keep, and you know, like it's really fun, but it's also one of those games where I'm like really starting to wonder how much there is going to be to do
long term
that isn't just going to feel samey. Mm.
I first off wanted to say, yeah, second, the whole beautiful thing. It also felt accurate. Like when I watched you play, because I haven't played it myself, I just watched Bob Creebly on either Twitch or in his apartment. Like when you walked by MSG and it was the first time I had seen Madison Square Garden in it, I was like, holy shit. And like the post office across the street, like, dude, like the details they put into a lot of this is just like mind blowing.
Yeah, but then they don't have everything, and like it's understandable that they going to like, but they don't have like Lexington Ave.
Oh, they just kind of skip that?
Yeah. Like, a couple of them get, like, I don't think they go, like, all the way out to Alphabet City.
Okay.
You know, like.
And it is also, I you know, it does kind of, like, it blocks you off in, like, what, like, the 50s?
Streetwise? It's like the 50s down to the 20s.
So, I mean, for those of you who aren't in New York,
30 blocks of Midtown.
For those of you who don't live in New York, I mean, it's still a very big area of Midtown that it covers. I hope that in the future,
and I mean, from river to river too. So
yeah, that too. I hope in the future with DLC they either add some of Central Park or maybe closer to like World Trade.
So the first DLC is subways, I think. The second DLC is like survival DLC, but doesn't really sound like it's adding new map portions. And then the third DLC, they haven't really detailed yet, so we don't really know what it is yet. But they are adding these other things. I know, like, this one thing is called incursion missions. And this incursion mission, they say one of them that they're adding is going to take place in Columbus Circle.
Ooh.
So,
fun.
New map sections, like little chunks like that, that's could be cool. Opening up in these little missions.
That's very cool.
So yeah, we'll see how all of this plays out.
I've heard some people.
First DLC should be coming actually next month.
Wow, that's really quick.
Yeah, they planned it out to be hitting in April, May, June.
When did the game drop?
The 8th.
So like
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. Jesus. That's quick for a new DLC.
Yeah, but I mean, for something like this, you need to capture your audience, which a lot of that is happening right now.
Right.
You know, you have an audience getting captured, but then you have the hardcore audience that's going to get sucked in,
and then they're going to go through all of your content quickly, in a week or two, tops. And that's your big problem. Like, I crushed through Destiny. But then I hit the end of Destiny, and I was like, is it? I played, like, 20 hours. Like, thought this was supposed to be your big, huge, epic new IP, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's an MMO. Like, vanilla WoW? You could play vanilla WoW for 100 hours, you know? Like, that's a huge game. And then, once you get into the expansions of WoW, you know, each one of those adds so many hours. But, like, it felt like I was just chump change for these other games.
Like Destiny, you mean?
Yeah, for Destiny, and hopefully not The Division, but kind of The Division. Because The Division just is Destiny.
Right.
Like, I don't mean to say that in a negative way, because Destiny is pretty good at what it does. A lot of people like Destiny. I want to like Destiny. I want to like a game like Destiny, and I think a game like The Division is something that I can get behind, hopefully. And I have been enjoying my time. But I do say if you are thinking about getting into Destiny, into the Division, make sure you have make sure you have a friend with you, or at least some people to play with, because it definitely benefits from playing through with a couple people.
Bob got an early advantage with Division because of his working in video games.
Well, we're able to start playing when the Australian servers went live.
But that being said,
technically is a day before American launch, just due to time zones.
But that being said, I got to watch Bob playing by himself early on because there just wasn't anyone else really for him to play with, and it was kind of brutal when you had no one with you running solo.
I was also very underskilled, and I probably wasn't playing as good as I could have, but I also just didn't have, like, you know, one of the core things is you have a skill mapped to LB and a skill mapped to RB, and I didn't have...
Arby's.
Right? And I didn't have both of those skill slots unlocked. I think I only had one skill slot that I could use. So, like, that was a huge hindrance that, you know, only early level players would experience. So that's why I was getting owned. I was just playing earlier, and I was still getting owned a little bit. So I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm best player. So,
are you talking about AI owned or PvP mode?
AI owned. I don't really do much of the PvP. I will say, the implementation of PvP in The Division is... pretty technologically innovative, even gameplay, you know, a lot of innovation involved in the PvP. It literally, whereas other games you have to exit out to a menu or get into a lobby, get into matchmaking, get into all that stuff, literally for The Division, PvP is going through a door and just switches over. There's a big chunk of the map in the middle of the city that is the dark zone, and that's the designated PvP area. But you just walk into a door and you're in, and that's it. And at its face, it's this just more, you know, player versus environment type stuff, doing, you know, confronting AI opponents, but you can still also blast away at the other humans in there, and that's called going rogue. And there's it's, you know, big risk reward type system, you know, because your rogue status makes, you know, you a big target for all of the non-rogue players on the map. But if you survive the countdown timer until you're not rogue anymore, you get to, like, have some bigger rewards. And
so you could just roll in with some of your friends into the PvP, and you could be a team, and then, like, you're just rolling around killing bad guys as a team, and then you just turn and go, hey, you know what? Remember the other day when you came over to watch that pay-per-view, and I said, hey, don't eat the last of the hot dogs, and you had the last hot dog? Well, by the way, fuck you, bub! Pop! Right to the face.
I don't know if you can turn on your team like that, like if you're in a team.
Oh, man, we gotta find that out. Quick!
Maybe not. Bob never played a game with Corey again.
Just freeze frame text underneath of you says, Bob never played the division again. I've heard some people say that there's not a lot of customization to your character.
Definitely not.
But also, how much do you really see of your character's face?
So, I mean, there, I'm pretty sure you can like pick your skin tone, and then there were like 7 faces to choose from. And that was it.
I think what it is there's 7 like, faces to choose from, period, and then you just pick your skin tone on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
That's literally what I said, but switched.
Let's switch.
So,
I was clarifying that there wasn't like 7 faces per skin tone.
No.
It was like there's 7 faces, yeah. Also skin tone.
Yes.
Like it's, I think there's like 4 face tet or scars, like 4 or 5 face, yeah, scars. But then for some reason, like 45 neck tattoos. That choose from that you can't see.
Yeah, which you can't see because
you're wearing jackets and shit.
Yeah, you're wearing jackets and scarves.
And I loved that I was watching some. This is how I know this, because I was watching some playthroughs on YouTube, mm-hmm, and there was one guy who went through every neck tattoo thing, and he's playing on PC, so he could make the head, yeah, look up. Uh-huh. But I was just like, why? Why would they put 40 or so neck tattoo options in there? Like you said, in a game where you it's winter, so you're wearing scarves and big jackets and hoods, like why would they spend so much time making these tattoos and then just not give you more options for stuff? And like the glasses and piercings are combined.
Glasses. Yeah, you only have one like actual glasses style.
There's sunglasses.
There's a couple sunglass styles, but yeah, one only actual. Like, I was like, I'll make a guy that looks like me, but there's only one actual glasses style.
You can't. And the other thing is that because piercings and glasses are combined into one category, you can't give your guy both glasses and the thing that Chester Bennington from Linkin Park has, the like La Brea,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, no, you can't.
You couldn't go like Hot Topic, nose ring, earring, nipple ring, La Brea, and also sunglasses. It's pretty much like, why so many neck tattoos?
I
hope that was just one guy at Ubisoft that was just like, dude, bro, I made tattoos. All these neck tattoo graphics. Can we put them in the game? And they were like, sure, Bill. What the fuck ever, dude? Just get out of here. Okay, bro, but I work hard on neck tattoo graphics. I got one that's just like a giant fucking American flag. Ear to ear, throat tat. And like also, like how many people in the division have throat tats then? Like, is that just like a...
I guess that's like that's a requirement.
A requirement to get your orange glowy disc, your Power Ranger
your watch.
Watch, whatever. Oh my God, that's also funny. Is just like, it's like, we were firefighters and teachers and we are the division. I don't understand. I still, like, the game looks cool as shit. Uh-huh. I've watched you play. Uh-huh. I don't understand who got drunk at Tom Clancy Studios. No, it wasn't Tom Clancy because he's dead. Nah, nah, nah. I don't know who got... Don't punch me. I don't know who got drunk at Tom Clancy Studios and like, I got an idea for a Tom Clancy game. Okay, so who's that Sam guy fighting this time? Which terrorist group? What?
What?
The guy from...
Sam Fisher?
Sam Fisher, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So who's Sam Fisher? Though. Who's Sam Fisher fighting this time? No, no, no. This time there's no terrorists. I'm going to put a sound effect there. This time there's no terrorists at all. It's just firefighters and nurses and teachers fighting looters, escaped prisoners, and fucking random guys who were originally garbage men in New York, but now have flamethrowers.
Well, look, when I talked to the creative director of Tom Clancy's The Division,
he said he had an acid trip where a garbage man took a flamethrower and killed his family.
He said more or less the concept of The Division is The Division is the organization that happens when all of the other Tom Clancy organizations have failed.
When the greatest counter-terrorist groups in America fail, we call firemen, nurses, teachers, garbage men and two dudes at a bar. That was my favorite one from the trailer. He's like, footage.
Even friends.
Yeah, friends at BW. I thought that was a BW3's commercial. Because when the two guys are at the bar, the one guy's like, gotta go. And his watch closed. I straight up thought they were going to like, BW3's, when you're not saving the world, eat wings and drink shitty beer and watch March Madness. B-dubs. Like, I was just like, who are these people in the division? Because, like, and like, also, how many like nurses and teachers and shit are just like jacked? Because like also everyone in the division is like, there's not like a lot of like fat people in the division from what I saw. I get that they're secret agents, dude, but like,
yeah, but a lot of them have like military background,
sure, or they're, like
policemen,
or they're AI,
or
or they're AI.
You know what, dude?
NPCs.
I think you're looking really far into this game.
Bob Beckett is telling me that I'm reading too much into this. I don't know what happened to me. Where did I go wrong? Why does it matter to me so much that there's plot holes in the division?
There's also not supposed to be that, like, story-wise, there's not supposed to be that many people in the division. I still don't understand.
It was a disease, not like anthrax, but it was released by somebody?
Yeah, like, it's not, like, it's...
But they weren't terrorists.
It could be terrorists. Why couldn't it be terrorists?
Because I thought the whole point of this was it's not terrorists, it's Tom Clancy without terrorists. It's,
you're not fighting terrorists outright. But they could have still... Look,
You're jaded.
I will sing the praises of great games.
You're jaded.
I will sing the praises of great games, and there were some great games that came out in February.
I thought for a second you were gonna be like, and there were some great games that came out like ever.
No, just this past month. We had Super Hot. That was a great game. Really cool, really innovative, really fun.
I bet no one even knows what that is.
Shut up. There's Firewatch. Really cool, very emotional, well done.
There's that puzzle game I hated.
There was the Witness technically was January. Was it February? January? I think it was January 26th, 28th, something. Anyway,
it was super end of January or super early in February.
Yeah, I believe it was super end of January. Point is, that one was really cool. You hated it. My dad has been going insane.
The Witness?
Yeah, he got it himself. He's been trying to figure it out. He loves those puzzle games, though.
So. I got really drunk the other day, and someone asked me to just explain what The Witness was. And I think what I said was, it's basically you walk around and you draw air doodles, and then doors open, and then you never get anywhere, and occasionally Bible verses play. I was like, I'm so over The Witness. And everyone's like, but it's beautiful. And I was like, yeah, but like it expects me to put time into it. At least when I finish the New York Times crossword puzzle, I go, oh, look at that. The whole puzzle's got pencil on it, and it's completed, and now I can move on. The Witness just felt like, oh, you did that puzzle? Here's another puzzle. Oh, dude, good job on that puzzle. It was really cool. Here's another puzzle. Oh, by the way, here's another puzzle, and now we're done telling you the fucking rules. Fuck you. You figure out how this puzzle is. And I'm like, that's not fair. You can't just give me a puzzle and just be like, you figure it out. Some of them, I honestly feel like the developers just, they just like made a puzzle, but then didn't explain the rules. And we're like, fuck it. What is this puzzle again? Oh, dude, I forgot.
I don't know. Just wrap it in there.
Just put like an endpoint where if the dot hits that, it counts as a victory. So you just sit there going like scrolling around with it. And then you're like, oh, I guess I did it. Oh, shit. I wonder what the solution even was, because I wasn't paying attention, because I was just fucking brute hacking this. I was just going every possible... Oh my god, that game pissed me off. I didn't even play it, really. You played it. I watched you play it, and it made me mad. And I felt like it was supposed to be like a Zen experience, and it was so un-Zen to me.
Uh-huh. But there's Unravel. Unravel's a fun little game.
I saw that on there. I haven't played it.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right, little game. I'm be positive. When good games come out, I get excited.
See... This is a show. Like you, I mean, I know this is a podcast, this is a show. He's putting on a front for you people. He hates video games. I listen to this mother. He lives in my basement. For those of you, I'm breaking kayfabe real quick. I'm telling the people how it is. For those of you who don't know, Bob and I have been friends for a fucking long time. He lives in my basement. Okay, he lives in the basement of my building, I should say.
Yeah, I do not live in his basement. I live in my own damn apartment.
It's my basement, Kari. It's not my basement. It's the basement of my building. And I've known him for a long time. And he Bob is in video game journalism, if you haven't figured that out yet by me saying it like twice already. And Bob plays and reviews video games pretty much for a living and writes about video games and researches video games for a living and talks to people who make video games. And 90% of the time I talk to Bob, it's like, it's almost as if video games is like some ex-wife that he owes alimony payments to and he can't afford them. And he's just like, ah, goddamn video games on my back again, Corey. Video games won't get off my fucking back, Corey. I'm supposed to call some developer, call me at my house. I was half awake, but I had to do the interview. Like, fuck it. Just like, it's like this love-hate video games where he's like, he's got a kid with video games, and video games is always going to be the mother of his child. So he's always going to love video games in some way. But at this point, he's just so fucking fed up with video games that he's just like, I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done with video games. And then in a week, he's going to be like, a really good game comes out, and he goes, you know,
maybe I can give video games another chance.
Maybe I'm, you know what? I'm like, Bob, remember what happens, though. And he's like, no, dude, but I really like this game. And then the game disappoints him, and he's like, I let video games move back into my fucking apartment, and now it's bad. It's real bad. God damn. I love it when you find a game that you really love, but then, like, even then, like I said, I've never heard you call me up and go, oh my God, Corey. I just played the fucking greatest game. Dude, I'm addicted.
Dude, that's what I told you about Superhot. Honestly, I didn't go on that long about Superhot because Superhot takes 2 hours to beat. It's a really short game, but...
This is the one where you, like, in the game, you're on a computer and you open the program up on the computer in the game?
Yeah.
That's just the whole... I still haven't watched you play this, and I feel like for the people at home, I'm just going to say... I can barely understand him explain to me in person.
So that's the story. If we're talking about the actual game is, the game makes a lot more sense. The game is a first-person shooter.
Okay.
Where,
but it's a game within a game. It's a game within like a game framey thing,
well, right? So the story is you're like a guy and you get like... This hack of a game from your friend, and you like log in to the game servers to play it, and you're playing the game, and then you play the game, and then you like get kicked off the servers, and blah blah blah. Like, it gets weird. It gets fucking.
So when
weird.
I ask you what the game's about, you go, "It's a first person shooter, and there's like a framing device that it's a guy on a computer."
Yeah.
If see from my perspective of how this looks is, I go instead of going from the inside out. If you ask me what that game is, then just knowing those facts and not having played it, I would say it's a fucking game where you're a guy who tries to play a fucking game on a computer and he keeps getting like kicked off the server. And then people go, well, that sounds weird. And I'm like, but the game that he's playing is a first-person shooter. And it's like, wait, so some other fucking jagoff is playing a first-person shooter and I have to play him? And it's like, yes.
Kinda.
That's how I look at it. I look at it from top down. You're looking at it from the inside out.
I'm looking at it as a game. You're looking at it as a performance.
It's some sort of... Dude, because the person who made it knew what the fuck they were doing. They made it like that for a reason. It wasn't an accident.
But no, the first-person shooter aspect of it makes a lot of sense. It's a shooter, but you... Time only advances when your character is in motion. So
and that sounds cool.
So that means like... You'll be like running down a hallway and you'll see a bad guy pop out and he'll like pull a gun and shoot a bullet at you. But if you just stop, the bullet will hover in midair, like in front of you. And so you can just like step to the side and then the bullet, well, you can like watch it travel down the hallway as you move to the side and like watch it pass you.
That's super cool.
And it, super. And like at the end of every level, because every level is more or less a puzzle. Like a kinetic puzzle that you have to solve. But then at the end of every level, they give you like a replay in like real time of what you did. And it's really cool because you'd be like, in this level, I picked up a bottle, threw it at a dude. It caused him to drop his gun. I picked it up in midair. I popped a shot off at him. I jumped over this table. I threw a chair at this dude. Like, I grabbed the gun out of his hand. I popped a shot off at him. I shot the bullet coming at me out of midair. I sidestepped over here. I ducked in between the blast of the shotgun shell. Like, I... Like, you do
cool.
Awesome things.
I don't doubt it. It all sounds super cool and fun and everything. I just... the way that you explained how, like, occasionally the gameplay just stops for a minute because the guy's like, oh, I reached the end of a level, and then you have to, like, the guy that you're playing in the simulation tier, the second level of the cake, you've told me that that's a part of the game, is that there's a point where, like, the game stops and that the server says, like, I'm sorry, you can't play anymore of this game. And, like, to me, that is just such a, like, a break.
Where it's almost like, it's almost like the Blair Witch Project of games. Like, that was a very non-traditional movie. Like, oh, it broke the fourth. Like, it was like, you know, they could only film when they could. Like, the whole found footage, like, the whole con, like, it established that whole concept. It's a very groundbreaking movie, you have to admit.
No. First off, this is not about a horror movie. Because I love Blair Witch Project. Like, I will defend Blair Witch Project to the grave. But, right, like,
but like,
when you said the Blair Witch Project, I was like,
a movie about people making a movie.
It's a found footage fake documentary. Yeah. I don't think that really has a correlation to what you're describing.
No.
You just mean that it's groundbreaking.
No. I'm saying that when you sit down at a theater and watch that movie, you're watching a movie about people trying to make a movie, right?
See, I sort of see what you're going for.
And this is a game where you sit down and it's a game where you are...
This is
playing a game.
This is the World Series defense It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode of video games, because what it really is it has nothing to do with Blair Witch Project, which is amazing. What it has to do with is, it's like we're watching a TV show where a group of assholes is telling a story, and we're experiencing that story and then occasionally getting sucked back to them in the courtroom explaining why they're not assholes. That's what I equate it more to that than I do to Blair Witch Project, in that it's a three-layer cake. And that sometimes while you're enjoying layer three, which is the piece of the cake that you really want, layer two just like goes like, hey, what's up?
No, it's more, like I said, it's a game where you're playing a game. Just within like Blair Witch Project is a movie where you're watching a movie.
It's the inception of games. It's a game within a game that you're playing. That's fair. That's fair.
The game that you're playing is you playing a game.
No, I win.
Anyway, I'm not a game hater. I'm a man who has been jaded by way too many video games in his life, and I don't get immediately bowled over by every single game that shows up on my doorstep. And I do like to get entertained by video games. And like I mentioned, I counted off like 5-6 games this past 2 months that have been great. And okay. I've played a bunch that have been crap. I've played a bunch that have been just okay. And that's one of the worst things, really, is how many games that I've played that I just kind of uninspired. And just like you can look at a bad game and say, okay, maybe the developers aren't that experienced, you know, or just maybe they tried something and the idea just wasn't there or something. Like, you look at a great game, you're like, okay, this is wonderful, the developers are on point. You look at an uninspired game and you're just like, what's going on here? Like, what whose time are you wasting doing this? Like,
I mean, I understand.
You know,
I think
it's like movies, dude. It's a lot like movies. Where you see, if you see countless movies, you're gonna be like, okay, you know, this movie isn't as good as the 20 other movies that did a similar idea to it.
I guess I can't be also as judgmental, because you play them for a living, so you're forced into playing video games,
right?
You know, against your will. There's
also that. Trust me, nothing kills your opinion of something more than if you are forced to play it and you don't enjoy it. Imagine trying to write a full walkthrough of a video game that is just boring, that you just have no interest in. Or, so oh my god, writing the fucking... what was that terrible game?
Killzone?
Killzone Shadowfall, yes.
Oh, I helped, high five.
Dude, I had to write the walkthrough for Killzone Shadowfall, and it was, oh my god, that game is just so boring. Now imagine being forced to play it all day for your job, and then
being forced to write up every single minute detail about it. Like, you just get to a point where, like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
So you had nothing else you wanted to talk about? Nothing else on the... I did have something sort of related to video games. The EA cover curse. Boy, howdy.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Conor McGregor.
Hit twice.
Because Ronda got announced on the cover with Conor McGregor, like, right before she lost to Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
Who also, Holly Holm lost to Miesha Tate.
So.
And Holly Holm kind of looked like she had it for most of it. And then Miesha Tate just came out of nowhere, just like, boop, boop, got it.
I mean, I don't really care about UFC, so.
I liked it. But anyway, Diaz beating McGregor. Both of the guys on the cover, you know, Ronda and and McGregor now, you know, have lost. But yeah, the EA cover curse in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope they don't make a EA presents, you know, EA Sports. It's in the game. You're playing EA Podcast Hero, and then it's the two of us on the cover because we'll just get murdered in a bus fire.
Oh, man, like, again?
Like, I do not want to be on the cover of an EA game. Because the one guy, the hockey player, is on the cover, but I mean, his thing
Patrick
was...
Patrick Kane? Yeah, was that's the, a little bit like,
sexual assault
as...
charges. But I'm just saying, I mean, he did that to himself. I'm not saying that's EA's fault. Like, EA didn't show up and, like, frame him for it. I'm just saying, if you're on the cover of an EA Sports title, prepare for your life to get just fucked.
I mean, I guess. Except for, Messi, I guess, is still been pretty successful.
Yeah, but I mean...
Who gives a shit about FIFA? Americans here.
I was going to say that. Here. I was going to say that just that he's unstoppable. Like, God put him on this earth to play soccer, so I feel like he's untouchable. But, the EA Sports cover curse strikes again.
I wonder who's going to be on the cover of next Madden.
The next Madden? I don't know. Was it Cam this year? Who was it on the cover this year?
I think it was the Giants wide receiver guy.
Oh God, it was Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, and then all that shit happened to him. Oh man, jeez, it's rough. Just put Peyton on the cover for next year because nothing bad can happen. Right. He's retired now.
Whatever.
But I guess the last thing I want to talk about is the Avengers, the new Civil War
trailer, like
the Civil War trailer 2 or whatever. Spider-Man's at the end of it.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
What'd you think? Good night, everybody. What did you think?
Just like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's cool. It's just like so much. Fucking!
You think the hype was overhyped?
It's just so just.
You saw it, right?
Yeah. Just.
I mean, but
superhero movies.
You're just burnt out.
Chill out, superhero movies. Right?
You're getting burnt out on superhero movies.
Yeah. Is
it
too much? It just seems like there's so many of them, and we're on our third fucking Spider-Man in, you know, 10 years.
They're rebooting it again, yeah.
And, you know, it's just like...
See, I feel like you were expressing to me the other day that if you felt, like, overwhelmed by how much you had to watch, but you don't necessarily have to watch, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and all that. And it's like, you should watch Daredevil. It was a great show on Netflix, but, like, you know, you don't you can only go see the popcorn movies in the theater and still be in the loop. I just feel like watching all the other shit gives you like extra in depth.
Yeah, but I mean, talking like they have the Ant-Man and there's gonna be the
Black Panther
and there's gonna just be, you know, another Thor movie and maybe another Captain America, I don't know, and another Ant-Man and, you know, more Guardians was fun, but, you know, there's more Guardians coming and it's just like, so many times I can watch New York City get like almost blown up by bad guys. Oh, this, like, they're very much the same story every fucking time.
I get why you're saying you're overwhelmed. I just feel like I definitely do think that there's a lot of superheroes, but I think that what they're doing is they're starting
so many of them, like,
They're gonna
hype themselves up to be these big things that just aren't
Thor 1, pretty snoozy. I understand it had to. Thor 2, still pretty snoozy. Iron Man's 2 and 3, both pretty snoozy.
Iron Man 2 is okay.
Like,
it's okay.
I'm also, I know, a very, very minority opinion who thought both Captain Americas were pretty snoozy.
What?
Yeah, I know. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid somebody says something negative against the second Captain America movie. But suck it. I thought it wasn't that great.
I like
Jesus Christ.
I guess. Hey, dude.
I can't
it's your
just
opinion,
be like.
Man.
I mean, they're some of them are good, but by and large, I'm starting to get a little tired of them.
It's fine.
I know,
dude. You didn't tell me if you liked Spider-Man. That's all I want to know. Did
no,
you like Spider-Man?
I did not care for Spider-Man because at this point I don't care. Who even is Spider-Man? Like, who is the actor? Like, I don't care. Like, I liked Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I didn't see any of fuckhead Spider-Man. And if they make it Spider-Man solo movies for a third time, I probably still won't care. Like,
fucking Spider-Man. That's Andrew Garfield?
Sure.
And
that's the problem. It's like if your brand isn't Marvel Disney, then your superhero movie's pretty sucky. See, and these like the you mentioned the only Marvel movies really when you're talking about like aren't you excited about upcoming movies? And you're right. Those they do a good job of building themselves up and height and working themselves together, but the other ones those are the ones that really fucking burn you out. Those Spider-Man bullshits, the other shitty ones I was talking about, the fucking Jonah Hexes and other just dumbass comic book movies that you're just like...
I had burned Jonah Hex out of my memory. I paid good money to see that in a theater, and I was very disappointed.
Like...
I have heartburn now.
See, and it's just like, now they're like, oh, they're making a comic book movie, and you're just like... Should I be excited or should I be worried that's just going to be another generic cash-in? Like, comic book movies now are just like the cash-in, like, chick flicks of the 90s, like, are now the superhero movies of today. Like,
I feel personally like a lot of the Marvel ones aren't cash-ins. Some of them are.
Okay, fair.
But I feel like Marvel has definitely invested a lot of time into a lot of them.
I'll concede that point, but it's no Green Lantern, no Green Arrow, no.
Wait, are you talking about the show on the CW? What
was the fucking Green Hornet?
Oh God, yeah, that one. Woof. Seth Rogen, right? Like comic superhero role.
For every good superhero movie you can tell me that was released over the past 10 years, I can name 3 bad ones.
Oh, that's going to be a game.
And so it's just...
That's going to be a game. I mean, we could start off with an easy one, because I could say Blade, and you could say Blade 2, dude. Blade Trinity, and then name like another bad one.
Right.
All right,
wrap
guys.
It up. Roll it up. Small package.
Small package. All right, guys. Well, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Small Package. We'll be back next week.
Sure.
All right. Bob's down to do another week. This is the podcast that literally could be canceled by any bad episode.
Hell, it could be canceled halfway through an episode.
Oh, dear.
I walk out. I'm done. Sorry.
Then it's just... me sitting here crying for 20 minutes forgetting to cut. Being like, no.
And then you still somehow just finish mixing it and publish it online.
No. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.